Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another special and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host today, Ryan McPherson. And as always, we're broadcasting here from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Before we get started, make sure you're connected with us on social media, Twitter at Business Radio X. You can also follow the show at Atlanta Biz Radio, Atlanta B-I-Z Radio. And you can follow me personally on Twitter at Ryan Redhawk. All tweets and comments and thoughts are welcome there. Although I may not respond to them all, we still love that social media. So also check us out on Facebook. Like us there, and you can see photos of our in-studio guests. Well, we have a great show lineup here today. Let's introduce everyone to the program. First, let's say hello to Tim Fulton. How are you doing today, Tim?
Doing great, Ryan. Thank you.
Good. And you are here to talk about what today?
Here to talk about small business. I'm a facilitator for Vistage here in Atlanta and work with quite a few small business owners and love what I do, and I'd love to be able to talk about it.
Small business is the lifeblood of this economy, and a guy like you out there helping, coaching, and leading small businesses to be them more successful. So we look forward to hearing more about that, so please stick with us. Also, let's introduce Philip Bloom with Philip Bloom Photography, right?
That's right.
All right, how you doing, Philip?
Doing well, thanks. Happy Pi Day.
Pi Day, what is that?
Today's celebration of 3.14 in the math world.
So oh, with the national, date.
Yeah.
3.14, right.
That's all they're talking about on the radio on the way here.
Wow, so. Wow. There's a day for everything these days. Days, right?
Exactly.
You know, donut day, Pi Day. That's what I first thought you meant by Pi Day.
So, yeah, I'll take that too.
Tell us about Bloom Photography and what you're doing there.
Absolutely. So Bloom Photography, just like, you know, a saturated market full of photographers come into the business world all the time and going out of that realm really quickly as well often. That's how we started. My wife and I started a wedding photography business, and it's ballooned to what is now photography coaching. We're able to travel around the world shooting weddings and speaking to photographers and doing some important things that are, we think, more meaningful in the world.
Fantastic. We've got some people snapping photographs in the studio here today. So we'll hopefully get some good photographic tips from you here in just a moment. But let's now introduce our leadoff interview. Her name is Tracy Grace. She is with IBEX IT, and she's president and CEO. How are you doing this morning, Tracy?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Ryan?
I am awesome. Here it is Monday, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. So tell our listeners a little bit about your background and what brought you to the studio today.
Sure. Well, so happy to be here. As Ryan said, I am president and CEO of IBEX IT Business Experts. We're a business process improvement firm, and we really specialize in consulting and IT training services for federal government as well as corporate America.
Yeah, and that's a company you founded. And when did you found the company?
It is. Actually, Sunday, we were 4 years old.
Congratulations.
So thank you. Thank you so much. We had a little champagne over the weekend and celebrated that. So
fun.
It's a great time to be on the radio.
Well, were you always an entrepreneur, or did that kind of blossom up later in life?
It's actually something I would say led and brought into almost kicking and screaming, but it was a natural progression for my
Why did you fight it so much?
Well, I tell you, I really enjoyed my time in corporate America. I really had a very successful stint climbing the corporate ladder, enjoyed it, and thought that's kind of where I would end up when everything was done. Yeah. And my husband always encouraged me to become an entrepreneur. He said, you know, you're making millions of dollars for all these Fortune 500 companies. Mm-hmm. Why not do it for yourself? Yeah. So that's kind of how it happened. It's an interesting story. I founded a health IT practice when I was a vice president at an international consulting firm. After a couple of years of being very successful in that area, they decided after a risk assessment that they no longer wanted to be in the health IT market. So I had one huge client and we were doing loads of business. And so I said, well, what do you want me to do with this client? They said, well, we don't know. We don't care. Let your suppliers go with your customers. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is millions of dollars of revenue potential here. And they said, well, you know, we don't want it. So after thinking, okay, this makes no sense, let me go ahead and go get my business incorporated, and that's how I started IBEX.
And it kind of took off from there. It almost had a life of its own in the beginning, but there were some early challenges, I know. Not only being a minority woman and being a business owner, what were some of those other early challenges that you experienced that you find success today?
Well, I tell you what, the one interesting thing is we almost started off as a staffing / staff augmentation firm, and I found out early on that there's about 1,500,000 staffing firms here in the Atlanta area. So in order to be really successful, I had to draw upon a lot of my experience and the professionals and consultants that I was working with to really formulate a true IT firm that specialized in business process improvement. That was the true need. There's so many IT companies that do software development, mobile applications, pretty much anything you can think of. But not very many people are looking at the overall perspective of IT and how we can really use technology to improve companies and help them meet their bottom line.
So your original idea changed as you saw the needs change of the consumer. So as you said, a staffing originally, it was going to be your plan. And then you kind of changed over to the IT business expert field. And so making that challenge and that change, it was very important in the beginning, I imagine.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I learned early on that even though we were doing really well as a staff augmentation firm, we had some really large companies that we were fulfilling needs for. I knew we needed to do more. So when I first built IBEX, I structured it as we were a Fortune 500 company. We had our health IT sector, our IT business process sector, and our training sector. So I knew with our niche market, we really had something there. When I pitched our services, there weren't anyone else coming behind us that did the same thing. So I knew that we had a competitive advantage there.
And that was maybe what you attributed to some of your early success as well.
Definitely, definitely. I found that people really wanted to hear our story. The story of how I started the business is very unique. Mm-hmm. You know, most people are afraid to seize the moment, but I really felt as though if I didn't take that opportunity, I wouldn't have an opportunity like that in the future.
Right. And so here we are 4 years later. What does the staff look like over there? How many people are you employing now?
We have 6 in our key office here in Sandy Springs. And then we have 4 salespeople around the country. We're in Huntsville, Pittsburgh, Tampa, and Washington, D.C.
So you're doing business all over the country.
We are. We are. We're all the way out to California. And we even have business partners as far as the UAE.
That's interesting. So you have some virtual people out there working for you or work for you out on the West Coast. And how do you, you know, find these people and make sure they're coming on board with the mission there at IBEX IT?
Well, Ryan, I'm a true warrior. I go to battle every day and I'm always out there pounding the pavement. I network a lot. If there's an event, typically you're going to see me there. That makes a lot of sense if it's especially IT focused. I meet a lot of people in very diverse industries. We cover university systems, local county systems, K-12. We are federal government. We do business with the military. We have government contracts. So we are always out there looking for what's next. What will our services relate to within the industry? So we go after what makes sense. And it doesn't matter where they're located. They could be international. They could be domestic. It doesn't matter.
So what is next? What's on the horizon for IBEX IT in 2016 and beyond?
Oh, that's an excellent question, Ryan.
Thank you so much.
Well, we've been doubling business. And one of the reasons, true reasons, I think we won the Amex Express Award for the On the Rise Government Contractor of the Year.
That's right. That was 2015. You are the recipient of that. So we want to say congratulations.
That was a fun one.
Yes.
And we're going out to San Diego in April to receive the award. So we're super excited about that. But really, we're looking to continue on the successful path. And I think that we've kind of gotten our stride now. So this year, we're looking to really, I would say, triple our government business that we're doing, that we did this past year, looking to leverage the success we have. We have some really great opportunities coming up with different posts such as U.S. Transcom, some of the other Army and Air Force bases. So we're super excited and looking forward to leveraging our success in those areas.
So growing the business, expanding your markets, it looks like that's all going to be happening for you in IBEX IT in 2016. So much to look forward to. But let's take a second here and talk to that small business owner, as you provide a lot of coaching and support for them along the way. Any early advice that you would give to someone who's just starting out their business now and what they can be gleaned from you and your past experience?
Yeah, I would say I take very seriously mentorship and partnerships. I would not be where I am today, and our company would not be where we are today if it weren't for people taking an interest in us. I have a couple of really significant mentors that have helped us along the way, have showed us the pitfalls that you can fall into if you're not careful. I've done a lot of training. Tim Fulton, one of the guests today, I attended his Growth Smart class, and he is really one of the instrumental people who told me, you got to work on the business, not only in the business. So I make a concerted effort to be the strategy leader for our company. Very strategic. I have the most fun directing the company and figuring out the next and keeping us on track. But I have super talented consultants and folks that I work with that help to execute everything. So we're all A players and we execute that way. But I would say for folks looking to get into the business, you really need to be dedicated. You need to be committed. Very early on, we decided we were willing to give up whatever was necessary to make the company happen. When I came home and told my husband, hey, our financing company is wondering if we'd be willing to put up our house in order to secure those GSA contracts, he said, no doubt. We'll do whatever we have to do. And just knowing that we're all in, it's what makes it all happen.
So passionate, all in, being committed, going forward with your dream and chasing it is all very important as well. You mentioned mentorship, but I'm always fascinated because we hear that a lot here in the studio about mentorship, how important that is, you know, to find someone that you can chase after your dream and resonate with. But you can't just go out and find a mentor like on Craigslist or like in the you know, on White Pages. How do you find you? Do you go to workshops? Do you go to meetings? Where's a good place for someone to find a mentor they can begin to work with?
Well, I'll tell you the story of how I actually found my main mentor. And I actually, when I decided to go into the federal government space, I hired a company called DUnity, and they specialize in small businesses looking to get into government, into the government space. So one of the things they did was help me ensure that our website was sound, that it was marketing directly towards federal government in addition to corporate America. And they also made introductions to key people that would be important for me to have in my hip pocket. Mm-hmm. One of the main things I do is always look ahead. I'm always trying to make strategic relationships with people that I'll meet in the future, whether it's financing, accounting, regardless of the area. Even if I don't need it today, if I need it in the future, I have those people out there. Well, one of the people they introduced me to was my current mentor. He's very successful in the government space. He's won multi-million dollar contracts. It's Advanced Technology Logistics down in Noonan, Georgia, and they helped me every step of the way.
But so you found an organization who was able then to connect you with a person that was able to provide you that mentorship that you were looking for.
Yes, right. Most definitely.
So encourage our listeners to go find an organization, hang out where those people are hanging out that you want to be like. And you can then begin to connect with people on a personal level so you can grow your business for sure. So, and what are the challenges that you may give to someone who's had an existing business, 5 years in the running, whatever it may be, and they're looking to take their business to the next level, right? They've already started their business, they're doing okay, but now they're ready to grow or scale their business. Any advice along those lines?
Yeah, I would say look outside of the box. Typically, there's going to be opportunities outside of the current industries that you're working in. Right now, I am part of the Leadership Council at the GMSDC, and one of the things I've committed to doing is helping other businesses who are looking to go into the healthcare sector understand the challenges of trying to get into that business. The healthcare sector is very closed. It's not open to anyone who just wants to jump in. You really have to understand how they do business. So one of the things that I advocate is look outside of your industry. If you have a warehouse and your business is shipping, think about maybe the extra space that you have in the back of the warehouse. What can you fill that with? What can you do? Can you be a fulfillment for an organization? Can you house some of the stock of your neighbor that's bursting at the seams? Think creatively and do business differently than you've done. Be a student. Mm-hmm. Learn and see where the areas of opportunity are and where the industries are going. Where can you leverage that 3 years down the road? And be proactive.
Very, very good advice coming from Tracy Grace here today, president and CEO of Ibex IT. And let's talk a little bit about Atlanta. Why is Atlanta so special to you? I mean, how long have you been in Atlanta?
Okay, well, I have been in Atlanta for, let's see, since I came in 95. So we're at, what, 20?
What, 20 years? Yeah, that's practically a native now.
You're,
20 years.
You're dating me, Ryan. You're dating me. Yeah, I came not soon after graduate school. I went to the University of Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Undergrad and grad. Go Pitt.
All right. Hell and I Pitt. See you have a degree in economics and Spanish.
I do. I
How
do.
About that?
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Now, here you are running a successful IT business. That's
See,
amazing.
Yes, yes. It's quite exciting. No, we've been in Atlanta for a little over 20 years, and really, one of the main reasons we left Pittsburgh is because it's really cold there.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, yeah. Got really tired of the snow, wanted some additional opportunities. Atlanta is definitely a land of opportunity. As a minority business owner, Atlanta really does help you to thrive. And I've had an excellent opportunity here. We raised our family here. We're now empty nesters.
Okay.
Our last son is at Kennesaw State.
How about that?
So it's like I have even more time to dedicate to radio shows like yours,
Good.
Ryan.
Good. We appreciate you taking the time out here today. I know Atlanta is proud to have you, one of its own, as a business leader and as a mentor to so many, as a coach to so many. So any more information about Ibex IT, how would listeners find out about it?
Yes, please look us up at ibexpartners.com is our website. We're super social media and social friendly. So we're at Ibex Experts, and we're also on LinkedIn. So those who follow us always get exciting information about our business process improvement and about our training. So those are two of the areas that we really excel in, as well as health IT. And we have so much fun with it. So please definitely look us up on ibexpartners.com. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah, and health out care IT, Atlanta is the capital of that right now. There's so much happening in that space. You are right where you need to be for your business and stuff. And you're located right here in Sandy Springs.
Yes, right in Sandy Springs, on the edge of Sandy Springs. Very few people know where we are, but we're in the River Exchange building right at the edge of Sandy Springs, at the confluence of Roswell, Norcross, Peachtree Corners, and Sandy Springs. We're in the hotbed. And with all the new companies moving to Sandy Springs, like Mercedes and State Farm, we're positioned exactly where we need to be.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tracy. All of her information will be posted later on the website, atlantabusinessradio.com. Please come back and be a guest and join us again on Atlanta Business Radio.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We now turn our attention to Mr. Tim Fulton. Thank you so much, Tim, for joining us again today.
Ryan, it's a pleasure. I'm pleased to be here. But before we start, I'd like to ask Tracy what she had to eat and or drink this morning. She's got such amazing energy.
Isn't that right?
I want just a little bit of it.
Thanks, Tim.
Very true. Very true. Full of energy, full of life, and probably could do a whole show just with Tracy all by herself here for sure. But we wanted to bring you on board today because about the small business world and business coaching and business support. But if you would share with our listeners a little bit about your background before we get started.
Sure. About the first half of my career, Ryan, I was a serial entrepreneur. I owned and operated a number of different small businesses. In fact, going back to when I was a small child, I was one of those kids who delivered newspapers and sold bumper stickers and whatever I could find, you know, growing up in school, different ways to make money. I was just intrigued by that. Got a degree in business from Tulane University in New Orleans and was the only person in my class who didn't go to corporate America. I thought, why would anyone want to do that? Why would you want to work for someone else? So I went back and got involved in one business and sold it and got involved in another business and sold it. And that started a string of different businesses. And along the way, I found that I enjoyed, as much as I enjoyed having my own business, I enjoyed being around entrepreneurs like Philip and like Tracy and working with them, mentoring them, training them. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got involved in the second half of my career as a business mentor and a facilitator working with small business owners.
Yeah. So do you believe that entrepreneurs are born or are they made?
That's a good question. I'm going to say both.
Okay.
I'm going to say there's certain characteristics that we might be born with that facilitate our desire to be in business for ourselves and to be successful. And yet I also think there are things that we certainly can learn along the way that can even help us do even be more successful.
And some would say that entrepreneurship is very risky. Mm-hmm. But others say, no, it's not nearly as risky as going to corporate world and not knowing your future. How do you feel? Where do you fall on that side of the fence of risk?
That's a great question, because I always felt that way, that, you know, entrepreneurs, in addition to being crazy, have to be, you know, risky.
Yeah.
But, you know, the studies have been done, found that most entrepreneurs, they don't see themselves as being risk takers. They see themselves, the best word that I've seen is they see themselves as predators. In that they see opportunities that other people don't see, and they go after those opportunities, and they scratch their head and they say, well, why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I go after more government business? Why wouldn't I open up a division over here? So they don't see themselves as risk takers as much as we might. They see themselves as predators.
Right. But others feel so safe and comfortable in their cubicle at their corporate company and think just entrepreneurship is just a wild, crazy dream, where others are embracing it wholeheartedly. We hear that a lot here too in the Business Radio X studios, that entrepreneurship is really the great equalizer here today in 2016. Mm-hmm. Used to be good enough. You go to college, get a degree, you get a good job, and you go on with happy life. Then you needed a graduate degree. All of that is not good enough anymore. But entrepreneurship can set you above and beyond all the others out there in the world. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, I agree completely. I've always told friends that I think I'm largely unemployable. I can't imagine anyone hiring me. And that's maybe what's kept me out of the corporate America. And in terms of risk, what's riskier than working for corporate America, waiting for someone to eliminate my position or move me to a different city? Seems a lot safer to work for myself than to work for someone else.
Tracy mentioned earlier, you're involved with the Grow Smart program. Can you talk to us about that, please?
Sure. This is a program I've been involved in now going on 13 years, and it's offered through the Small Business Development Center Network here in Georgia, which is sponsored by UGA. And we've had over 2,000 business owners go through the program. It's a training program, 40 hours, mm-hmm. on the topics that we think are of most interest to business owners, like marketing and leadership, strategic planning, financial management, how to read financial statements, and then business design. So it's a very interactive program. We bring in speakers. We show TED Talks, a lot of hands-on work for our participants. And then it's great to see someone like Tracy, who's been through the program and has just seen her business continue to grow as a result of it.
Yeah. And you can be good at something. Who knows? You know, you could be good at woodworking, or you can be good at fishing, and you try to turn that into a business. Just because you're passionate about it doesn't always mean success, because you've got to work on your business. You've got to wear so many different hats when you become a business owner, that often your passion, the reason you got started, is not what's going to carry you to success there. So is that something you may teach some of the folks in the Grow Smart program?
Yeah, Ryan, I remember first hearing about that from one of the first business books that I read, was called The E-Myth, written by Michael Gerber. And he talks about that most small businesses get started by, he calls them technicians. And the technician is someone who knows how to do something and starts a business as a result of that knowledge. It's the attorney who starts a law practice, or the plumber who starts a plumbing business. And they just assume, because they know how to do plumbing, that they ought to be able to run a plumbing business. And he refers to that as the fatal assumption. He says the fatal assumption is that because you know how to do the work, that you just assume you can run a business that does that work. And we find that's what trips up most small businesses and small business owners, is that fatal assumption. The most common example is the chef who opens up a restaurant, and they don't see that they're going to have to hire people, and they're going to have to borrow money, and all the things involved around the operation of the restaurant that makes it such a difficult business to be in.
Yeah. So how do you coach them on that? How do you reach that person who says, well, I don't need any help, I got this figured out? You know, because that's a hard kind of pill to swallow sometimes as a business owner. That, look, I need help, and I need to go, you know, find some of these outreach programs. And so how do you reach those business owners who don't know that they need help just yet?
Most of the time, they'll find us, and it's usually one of two things. Either their business is growing so rapidly that they feel like it's gotten out of control and they need some help, or their business has hit a ceiling of sort. It's the growth has stalled, and they want to try to kind of reignite the growth in their business. And so one way or the other, they usually find out about the program through one of the SBDC offices. There are 17, I think, here in the state of Georgia. And so they'll go in and maybe get a little bit of counseling, find out about the Grow Smart program, and hopefully get involved in the program before it's too late.
Right. So you're very accomplished in a lot of this peer-to-peer groups and different counseling. You've written a book as well. Can you talk to our listeners about that?
Sure. I wrote the book, Small Business Matters, about 5 years ago. I've been writing articles for myself and for different newspapers for the last 12, 15 years. And so the book is a collection of those articles that I had written over time. And I finally just took the time and put them into a book. And I've been very pleased with it. We've sold thousands of copies over the years. If anything, it's a leave behind. Someday when I go, there'll be something that maybe I'll be remembered by.
A legacy of some kind. So how can listeners find that book?
Sure. It can be found on my website, which is smallbusinessmattersonline.com. Smallbusinessmattersonline.com. And it's also on Amazon as well.
Good. Yeah, we'll have that link posted up later on AtlantaBusinessRadio.com. What's that book writing process for you like? Is that fun? Is it something you just do, you know, an hour per day? Or do you lock yourself in a mountain cabin for the weekend and get it done? What's that process for you?
It was painful. when I turned over the materials to an editor, and I thought my writing was okay. I thought it was pretty good. And all I got back were pages of red ink, red ink. And I thought, I can't be this bad. but fortunately, we got through that process, and I had a very gifted artistic designer work with me, and I was very pleased with the final product.
Very good. Is there another book in you? You got something else on the horizon?
I've done quite a bit of writing since I wrote the first book, and so I think there's another one out there sometime soon.
Okay, well, stay tuned, listeners, for that. And from the bigger picture, for small businesses, does it ever get any easier for small businesses?
Ryan, that's an interesting question, and the short answer is no. Most, I think, people when they get into business assume that at some point it must get easier. The reality is I find it doesn't. It can be actually get more difficult because the business gets more complex. You know, instead of one customer, I've got 10 customers. Instead of two employees, I've got 20 employees. So the business gets increasingly more complex, which means in most cases, it gets more difficult.
Mm-hmm. As you begin to look at some of these newer startups and newer leaders here in the Atlanta scene, can you tell with your years of experience, can you tell like from the beginning whether they're going to make it or not? Are there certain indicators from you personally that you can say, you know what, I think this guy's a good leader and this is a good idea and they're going to make it or not?
Well, one is they've got to be slightly crazy. So that's the first thing I look for.
So if they're crazy, they're going to make it.
Some abnormality in their personality is probably the first thing. The other thing, Ryan, is it's so important to be able to overcome adversity. And they've actually come up with a way of measuring this. It's called your AQ, your adversity quotient. And they found that's one of the most important and most prevalent determinants of success in small businesses, to overcome adversity, whether the adversity is getting to work, you know, on time or dealing with difficult customers or terrorist-like employees and just having a mindset of this will pass. Mm-hmm. You know, I've gotten through this before, whether it was in school, whether it was family-related, but just a mindset of I've made it through this before. I can make it through this again. And that may be the most important determinant of success in small business
today. I think it's a good determinant of success in life in general, you know, being able to handle adversity in life, because we know it's not just a cakewalk and you will experience adversity no matter who you are. And it's how you handle it and rebound and go forward from there really determines that. So what about Atlanta for you? How long have you been in this town? And what do you think about as the entrepreneur kind of hub of the South here now?
Yeah, I love it. I've been here for 20 years, moved here during the Olympics. It's always easy for me to remember in 1996. And what brought me here were a number of different things. One, great schools, you know, between Georgia Tech and Emory and University of Georgia, Georgia State, great education. A lot of capital to support small business in Atlanta, whether it's on the debt side, lots of different banks, and a lot of private equity in Atlanta as well. And there just seems to be a go-to spirit in Atlanta, particularly in terms of entrepreneurship and the support that's here. People like yourself who support small business. I think we're very fortunate to be here.
Absolutely. So what do you like to do in your off time in Atlanta? What keeps you motivated here?
I'm an avid tennis player.
Okay.
I love playing Alta tennis. I love to compete on the tennis court. I enjoy reading. I'm always reading a different business book, trying to get different ideas. And I love to travel.
Okay.
Love traveling around the country and even outside the United States.
Well, there you have it, folks. You heard it first here. Tim Fulton, you can find him on the tennis courts. You can find him traveling along the byways and highways here in the United States of America. But most importantly, you can find him helping small business owners. Also, the Vistage folks as well. Yeah, we forgot to mention that. You're a Vistage chair, been involved with them for a number of years. How important is that for once a CEO reaches a certain level of success and they begin to connect with like-minded individuals in that setting?
That's a good question. I think most business owners find that they can get to a certain place on their own, but at some point they realize they need help. And I think we heard this from Tracy, that she found mentors that helped her out with her business, supporters. And the same thing I've found is at some point they find that it's advantageous to be a part of a group of business owners mm-hmm. who will not only support them, but challenge their thoughts, ask them difficult questions, tell them when they're wrong, hold them accountable to their commitments. And that's what the Vistage groups essentially are about that.
Yeah, good, honest, real world feedback, you know, not just always yes, 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 but no, you need to stop and think sometimes as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's very important. So thank you so much, Tim, for joining us today. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to mention I host a Small Business Matters conference.
Okay.
And that conference is on May 20th. And this is the fourth year. Last year, we had over 200 small business owners join us, one of the largest events for small business owners in Atlanta. And we'd love to have all of your listeners join us for that event. 12 different speakers, variety of different topics. We'd love to see them on May 20th.
May 20th, where does that take place?
It's going to be at the Villa Christina, the Hyatt Regency Villa Christina, right here in the perimeter area.
Okay. And tickets are still available?
They certainly are on the website at smallbusinessmattersonline.com.
And are you looking for more sponsors? Are you more looking for anything else along the lines that we could help you with?
We're just looking for live bodies.
Okay.
Our sponsors are all lined up. The speakers are all lined up. We're just looking for
attendees.
For attendees.
And it's designed for the small business owner of any level, whether they're 3 months in the business or 3 years into the business or beyond. You can come out there and find some good information, actionable intelligence that you can use there. So May 20th, Villa Christina here in Sandy Springs, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tim. We'll have that information loaded up on our website later today. So check that out and please come back and be a guest anytime.
Love to do it.
All right. And now we have our headliner here today. Thank you so much for being patient, Mr. Philip Bloom.
Yes, sir. My
right.
Pleasure.
He's the big kahuna, the chief photographer, the one, the only over there at Bloom Photography. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks. Really excited to be here.
All right. So when did you get into photography?
You know, I picked up my dad's old Canon AE-1 that I found in a box when I was in middle school and some black and white prints that he had done in college, you know, amateur stuff. But to mm-hmm. me, it was just mind blowing. And I just wanted to figure out this device. So that's kind of where it started. My dream was to be a National Geographic photographer one day.
Right.
So I was kind of on that route in journalism school. I was going to see if that was even possible. And then I made the mistake of traveling overseas my last semester and met my wife-to-be. So plans changed really quickly.
So you met her in another country?
That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oddly enough, someone else was planning this a lot better than we possibly could have. But I went to Tokyo for a short-term trip. I was just there for about a week. My wife was there for a two-year stint working. She was about halfway through that stint. Not my wife at this point.
Yeah.
But I see her, you know, kind of across the crowded room at this university. She's Asian as well. So I just thought she was, you know, part of the crowd. I wouldn't be able to speak with her. I didn't know much Japanese. But we ended up meeting, spending one day together. And this is kind of the crazy part. So after sparks fly, mm-hmm. I have to fly home the next day. First time, I'm not a techie guy. I never have been until I had to be for business. So she was the first one I decided I'm going to try, you know, online chat. We're going to stay in contact. So by the time I get home, we kind of start this long distance friendship, and only a few weeks later find out that our families are both living within an hour of each other right here in Georgia. And our relationship builds online. Her big Filipino family ends up dating me on her behalf while she's still overseas. which that was crazy. The first, you know, they have family gatherings every other weekend. So I show up and meeting 50 people trying to remember names.
Nice.
Intimidating for a guy on his own. But then what ended up happening was she was going to a friend's wedding in California. She invited me to be her date. We both flew out there from opposite directions. It's our first official date, our second day together in person. And I brought the ring with me and proposed on our first date. Probably the craziest thing I've ever done. Probably the best decision I ever made as well.
So. Fantastic story. Thank you so much for sharing, for sure. Yeah, and maybe there's a movie in there somewhere. That sounds like it could be, right?
It felt like one.
Yeah. So what year was that?
We've been married for 8 years now.
So 8 years.
So it worked out despite that first date proposal.
Good deal. And so you went on to be a photographer. Did you get yourself a corporate photography job? Is there such a thing as working corporate photography? Or kind of in my mind, when you're going to be a photographer, you got to start your own business no matter what.
That has faded. I mean, there used to be that National Geographic, full-time photographer. There used mm-hmm. to be those newspaper positions mm-hmm. and it's pretty much gone all over to freelance. It's just the struggle of print journalism.
Yeah.
As in terms of photography, it's crazy enough. I never saw myself beginning a business like that. After our marriage, Eileen was working at Starbucks, you know, turning out those Frappuccinos that we all love in the mornings. And I was teaching high school fresh out of college, and then transitioned to helping my family in their retail business. So no plans like that until a friend called up on the phone one day. She knew I was into photography as a hobby. She was getting married on a budget. Mm-hmm. And she asked me to simply send her some pictures that I'd taken so she could see what my work was like and maybe hire me for her wedding. Eileen is a classic overachiever. So I asked her, would you email these pictures to my friend? And instead, she goes in, having never even done it before, and figures out how to write the code to make a little website and put them up on the online to present them beautifully. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, we're getting phone calls. And that first year, we're just kind of shooting weddings on the side as a part-time thing. By the next year, we're leaving our jobs and going full-time as photographers. So it's happened by accident and couldn't have been a better plan.
Well, you seem like the right guy for the job. You're good at photography. You're romantic at heart, right? So weddings is right down your alley there for sure. And you got a good support system there at home. So why not do it? So weddings, is that kind of your kind of sweet space of what you like to shoot?
Weddings has been our mainstay for sure. And beyond the photography, the wonderful thing about that has been that we work with, you know, a select number of couples each year, and our clients end up becoming our best friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, a few years back, one of our couples called us out of the blue and invited us to come celebrate their 1-year anniversary with them.
They wanted you to take pictures.
Right, exactly. Maybe I should have caught on to that. I missed that somehow. But it was crazy. I mean, you're photographers. We haven't spoken to you in 5 months now, but just to have that relationship, another couple who made us the godparents to their first son. So we always tell our clients, you're not required to give your firstborn to us, but we hope to have that good relationship.
And so when you started shooting more and more weddings and you realized, okay, this is going to be a legit business, what were some of those things you had to do to kind of set yourself up for success so you know that you can handle more business?
Yeah, and that's the huge hurdle, I think, for most photographers. That's why, you know, 80% of small businesses fail in their first 5 years. That churn is much higher for photographers because everyone has a camera. It's one of those things where, you know, like a lot of skilled, like Tim was talking about, the plumber who wants to start a plumbing business but doesn't understand that side of it. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a photographer and jumps in at some point and then jumps right out because learning the business side is so crazy. Yeah. Now, for us, that was just something that I think made sense right off the bat. Eileen had the benefit of a business background. Her major was in business. And for me, we're both much more left-brained. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy to even think that we're artists professionally. It's insane because I was avoiding art electives. You know, I was the mathlete. and here we are. I think because we understood that business side of things, giving clients an experience, not just a product, not just a commodity, but creating an experience. That's what every consumer really wants. Our lives are short. We want to enjoy it. And so providing that has been the top thing that's got us word of mouth and grown our business.
And that has how your business has grown is through word of mouth. Are you actively out there marketing your services?
You know, I mean, marketing is a real active thing, but it's not traditional marketing for us. So early on, we tried all the traditional expensive magazine, print ads, you know, beautiful magazines, well-respected ones, online advertising, all of these things. It was amazing how many thousands of dollars you can sink into that. Mm-hmm. And literally not see a single lead from it. And what we found out, at least in our luxury type of product that we and experience that we offer, is that when people are investing and trusting you for something so important as, you know, commissioning you to capture their life art, they're not going to the internet for advice. They are going to trust friends. They're going to
word
trust
of mouth,
their
right.
planners and those types of people. So it becomes very much a face-to-face building relationships with vendors and treating your couples, your clients really well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just doing good business, connecting with people, and then the word good business will find you in return.
Yes.
Photography. Now, you mentioned before we went to air that you're also teaching photography classes or teaching how to start a photography business. Is that right?
Yeah. I mentioned that I was a high school teacher before this accidentally happened. So it's been, to me, just so rewarding to get back into that mode of things. We went to our first photography conference 4 years ago. I didn't know that photography conferences existed. I think most photographers are kind of isolate themselves from the competition. We work from our basements. You know, we have kind of dark circles around our eyes because we're editing on the screen so much.
Right.
But no, there are these. The first one is PPA. That's actually located here in Atlanta. They travel each year, but their conference that year was in Atlanta. So we attended that, and I just started meeting people. Meeting these people, these photographers who are known around the world by one name. And they you know, they talked back to me, you know, they weren't just beyond us. And that's what I found out more and more about, you know, obviously successful people like Tracy and Tim here. It's easy to step back in the business world, even in the creative world, you know, oh, that's a creative genius. Don't really talk to them. They're inspired by some divine source. No, we're people who are finding out ways to just build relationships, build business. And we're very happy to talk with those who are up and coming. And it's just been so inspiring that at that conference, these photographers helped us along. They saw our passion. They saw what we were doing that was different. And it, the next year gave us a chance to win a little award to speak for 5 minutes and kind of show our stuff. And we just came back last week from our third year at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, speaking to 14,000 photographers.
Wow.
Surreal, you know, walking down the hall and seeing a big banner with your face on it as if you're the expert when you just, you know, you feel like you're not even an artist. So it's great.
Well, no, it sounds like you're doing great things and people are resonating with you and your mission there, Bloom Photography. What's next for you guys? What's on the horizon 2016 and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, well, in the immediate, and I hope people will tune into this, Tim was talking about TED Talks and mm-hmm. I'm an addict to TED Talks and business books. Everyone who wants to be successful just needs to immerse themselves in that sort of thing. We're actually giving a TEDx talk this Friday.
All right.
So if anyone wants to watch that particular talk, they're live streaming on Friday. And of course, you can catch the rebroadcasts and mm-hmm. things on YouTube later. So that's exciting. In the business realm, I'm wearing my t-shirt here. Our Come Unity is something that we began because speaking at all these conferences, we realized there was a void that was not being filled, where the overall impression that photographers got when they came in was that, you know, there's some rock star photographers here that we can learn from. We'll never achieve that level, but at least we can make some money. It was all about how can you make more money. And our mission has always been, real success is supporting a life that means something and giving back to your community. And we've tried to focus our business around that, because we just feel like God has blessed us beyond what we deserved, and that's what we ought to remain about. So our community workshops we just did our first workshop weeks ago and brought in photographers from all over the country here to spend 3 days with us learning a holistic, well-rounded approach to making your business succeed, improving your craft, your art, but also how to give back and make that a part of your balanced life as mm-hmm. well.
Wow. So much giving back, not only to the industry, but giving back to the community, giving back to Atlanta, right? So here in Atlanta, it's probably a great place to start your business, but grow your business as well.
Absolutely. So, I mean, in Atlanta, for us, Clarkston is my wife's hometown. And just to look at little pockets of Atlanta that tend to get shoved aside, but it's the most diverse place in the United States mm-hmm. of America, with people with such needs and immigrants and all this sort of thing. So there's opportunities to give back.
Yep.
And that's what we're passionate about. The thing that I think launched our business into the public eye was the fact that instead of just shooting weddings, we would take our profits in our off season and go travel to the third world and do art to bring attention to organizations that were doing amazing work, getting kids off the streets, out of the slums, out of gangs, and into homes. And that doesn't exist just in the third world. It exists here in Atlanta as well. Right, so it's a huge opportunity.
No, thank you so much for sharing so much of that information with our listeners today. I know they found great value in all that you had to add. How can they find out more information about you and Bloom Photography?
Sure. Bloomphotography.com. Not Bloom like the flower, but Bloom like the German flower. So B-L-U-M-E.
Right.
I guess that's Bloom Photography.
Bloom Photography.
And so you can kind of trace this all there. If you're a photographer, if you're an artist, I hope you'll sign up for our newsletter, and that'll give you early access to our workshops and things as well as weekly education. But we're all on Instagram and all of that primarily. So I would love to catch up with people on social media.
Good. And one of these days I'll hire you to come follow me and my dog around, because I love hiking with the dog. And we've always tried to take pictures with the iPhone. I'm pretty good at taking pictures with my iPhone, but I want a professional photographer to come follow me around. I don't know how much that would cost, you know, but we'll have to
talk
about
that. We'd love to do it. That would be a blast.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Philip Bloom. Thank you to Tim Fulton. Thank you to Tracy Grace. Thank you to everyone listening and supporting. Thank you to Alex G. Shiflett for producing a great show today. And thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. If you would like to be a guest on Atlanta Business Radio, send us your name at brxhq.com. Thank you so much. This is Ryan Redhawk. We will see you on the radio.